Sunday, when a missionary was to come into town, I'd usually just turn the whole service over. But the Lord wouldn't let me do that with this message. So I believe with all my heart there's someone here that's dealing with salvation and probably a host of other things that are going on in your life that God wants to help you with today. Amen. Revelation chapter 2. So just give us a little bit of time. We're going to preach to you with what God's given us. And if God has deals with your heart anywhere in the midst of this service, come. Don't wait for an offering or an altar call. And don't wait for somebody to get up here and say something to come. If God's dealing with your heart, step out and come. Because there's going to be different parts of this message at different times. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 1. Unto the angel of the church at Ephesus write, these things saith, He that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. That's Jesus. Ephesus is one of the greatest churches in the New Testament, in the seven churches of Asia Minor. It's the biggest church. It's in a thoroughfare. It's in a trading area. Timothy was one of its first pastors, and a lot of people believe John the Baptist was one of the latter pastors. John the Revelator. The one they believe this is where they come and got him and took him up to the Isle of Patmos. And this is where they believe that happened. And the church at Ephesus was an awesome church. It's a big church. It's a thriving church. It's in a community where it was helping people. And Jesus, in that, he says he is the one who holds the seven stars. That means he had the power. God has the power in our church to hold us together. He has the power to keep us going strong. But he's also the one in the midst. Amen? So God has got the ability to hold you strong, but he's also the God that's in the midst of the church. So he knows what's going on good and what's going on bad. Amen? I love God. I love that God's present in my life when everything's going good, when everything I'm doing right. But God is also present when I'm not. And God is also present when you're not. And that's a good thing, amen? We don't always think it's a good thing, but it is a good thing. I'm glad that God is not only a God to me when I got everything going on, when I can say, hey, Lord, look at my life. But also say, I still got that same Jesus, that same Holy Spirit that says, hey, Kevin, I see this in your life, amen? I've got you. I'm holding you. I'm holding those seven stars. I'm holding you. I'm keeping you together. But I also see some things. Y'all ready to get in the Word? Boy, y'all are stunning today. Y'all are just so quiet. I know thy works, verse 2. I know thy works and thy labor, thy patience, and how they canst not bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them which say they are apostles and are not, and hast found them liars. And that's born and has patience and for my name's sake has labored and has not fainted. He mentions patience twice. He said, you're patient. I love what they're patient about. They're patient about the labor and they're patient about Jesus. They're patient about the things that they're doing, but they're not patient about a couple of other things. They're not patient about sin. Y'all, let this sink in. They're not patient about sin. They don't let sin linger. They don't let false teachers linger. Amen? They're patient with the labor of God. They're patient with the things of God. They're patient with suffering for God. But they're not patient with false teachers. Get out. they're not patient with people that are committing sin. That's not right. Woo. It's quiet. That's what they're not patient for. Amen? But then they're patient. And I notice it says, it mentions labor in there twice. But I don't think we're supposed to work for our salvation. No. The great message of grace, if you preach grace right, you know what it lends itself to? Great work. Amen? I'm saved by grace. Amen?
God's unmerited favor. He loved me while I was unlovable. While I was yet an enemy, Christ shed His blood at Calvary for me that I might have eternal life. I don't deserve to go to heaven. But I'm going. Why? Because I believe in who Jesus Christ was. I repented of my sins. I asked Him to be the Lord of my life. And I actually resigned myself to His will. And now I work for God. Not to be saved. Not to keep my salvation. But because I am saved. Man, you get the understanding that you got in the family of God. You'll want to do something. Amen? You'll want to do something, not to get saved, not to keep saved, but thank God I am. He loved me enough. Man, I want to do something. And it gives you, write this down, somebody. It gives you liberty to do it. God, can I break that down? Are y'all all right if I preach a little bit about this? It gives you liberty to do it because guess what? You don't have to sit there and worry about if you're in and out of the family of God. Did something wrong, I'm out. Did something right, I'm in. No, you're in. Amen. Guess what? That gives you the ability to tell you, to tell them about Jesus. To go and say, hey, Jesus saves. I can tell you that because guess what? I'm saved too. Oh, man. It's a liberty. I love this, don't you? That he covers this in Revelation. Verse 4. This is where I want to preach from. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. Now listen, I've heard this preached every which way you could preach it. But I'm going to kind of come at it from a different slant today. Amen? And I'm going to give you a couple of verses to help you with what I'm trying to do. Let's go to John. You don't have to, but John chapter 6, verse 66. I found that neat that's where it's at. John 6, 66. Anyway. From that time, many of His disciples went back and walked no more with Him. Jesus talked about the suffering and what He was going to go through and how people could be offended in Him. And He said, if you're offended, you can go away. And you know what? Some of the disciples walked away. Whew. The root word of disciple is disciplined. Some of the most disciplined people walked away. Amen? I'm not trying to get you to walk away from the church. I'm not trying to get you to walk away from this ministry. But I don't want you to stick around for the wrong reasons either. Amen? If you're going to stick around just because you say you go to church, and because we got a ministry, and I go to church, and I attend church, and I do church things, that's great. But that ain't going to get you into heaven. What's going to get you into heaven is Jesus Christ. Amen? You can attend every function we got. You can be a part of every group that we got. But if you don't know Him as Lord and Savior, it won't do you any good. Amen? So, if that offends you, I don't want to run y'all. But if that offends you, I'd rather you be offended and know the truth. 2 Corinthians 13:5. I'm just trying to tell you what I'm doing before I go there. Examine yourself whether you be in the faith. Prove your own selves. Know you not your own selves? How that Jesus Christ is in you, except you be reprobates. We're going to take a test this morning. All the young people got up and want to leave right now. I hated tests at school, usually because I didn't study. Amen? But we're going to have a test this morning. We're going to give you a place to examine yourself, whether you be in the faith. What I always liked, if you had examined yourself before you stand before God, it's a whole lot easier before you stand before God. Like if you go to the doctor, if you do a self-examination, it's a whole lot better than when you go to the doctor and find out everything's wrong. Amen? So we're going to do an examination this morning with this scripture. With the scripture that I'm going to share you, we're going to do an examination whether you're in the faith or not. And by the end of this service, you're going to kind of know whether you're in the faith and whether you need to get saved or whether you can come up here and say, thank you, Lord Jesus, I'm in the faith. Amen? Is that fair? In 2018, we don't like black and white. We don't like knowing and not knowing. We don't like up is up and down is down and right is right and wrong is wrong. We like gray area, but God is not, His area is not gray area. Amen? Very clear. Y'all ready? Nevertheless, this church, this awesome church, that God gave them all the positives up front. Jesus gave them all the positives. Now He's telling them, I've got something. Nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee because thou hast left thy first love. My question of you today is, have you ever had the first love? Amen? Have you ever had the first love with Jesus? Because some of you are claiming, some of us are thinking that we're in the faith, but God said He came to a church that was doing great stuff, hated sin, taught, suffered, went through everything, but He said, I had somewhat against you. You've left your first love. What that means is you used to be passionate, on fire, in love with me, but guess what? You are no longer like that. You're doing the things of the church, but you don't passionately love me. Go back and do your first work. Go back and do that passionate love. Don't just be serving me. Serve me with passion. That made me think about every relationship I've ever had, good or bad, had some elements to it. And I'll tell you, if you have a passionate, this will tell you if you had a passionate love with Jesus Christ. And if you've never had that, you might want to check up to see if you ever had the first love. That means that first initial salvation. Amen? Are y'all ready? Are y'all with me? All right, I got three people with me this one. Great. Amen. Awesome. This might be the place to examine yourself. I can tell you about infatuation, the constant thought. The first place when I went, hey, every relationship I ever got into, infatuation mode. Anybody ever had infatuation with a first love? God, y'all are liars. Have you ever been infatuated with somebody in a relationship? Your wife, hopefully, your girlfriend, your boyfriend. The infatuation phase is you want to know everything. You're thinking of them constantly. I mean, you're sitting there going, I wonder what they're doing. I wonder what they're eating. I wonder where they're at. I'm going to call them. Oh, I can't wait to talk to them. I can't. Man, now listen, infatuation phase disappears, but guess what? It's there. It's there. And listen, when you get saved, guess what? You're infatuated with Jesus. I wish we'd stay that way. I wish we would stay that way our whole time in faith. But when we first get saved, we're kind of hard to deal with. I'm asking you this on purpose. Are you hard to deal with if you've just recently been saved? Was there ever a time in your life that you were hard to deal with because you got saved and you went back to work? Oh, I love Jesus. Jesus is good. Jesus is great. Man, you're just full of Jesus, man. Can you chill that? Can you chill that? Can you turn that down a little bit? Amen. Oh, Jesus is awesome. Oh, Jesus, I want to praise Jesus. I love Jesus songs. I love Jesus prayers. I love Jesus word. I love Jesus. And everybody's just like, man, that guy, that girl, she's just over the top. They're infatuated with Jesus. Now, I wish we'd stay in that infatuation phase, but guess what? Every relationship I ever had in my life, there was a place that I was infatuated with the thing that I was in love with. And Jesus was no different. Man, when I got saved, I found a 66-page love letter that I didn't even know that He had written. Amen? And I started cracking into that thing, and I'm like, I would look around sometimes and go, does anybody else know this thing says what it says? This thing says Jesus loves me. That He died for me. And He loves everybody in the world. And He's pursuing everybody. I was amazed. I found out He died for me while I was yet. And He died for me. He loved me when I didn't love myself. Amen? Golly, bum. The Bible says, go ye into all the world. We have missionaries here. Go ye into all the world. Amen? And preach the gospel to every living creature. Are you going anywhere? Are you infatuated enough to go anywhere? Well, I can't go overseas. Go next door. Go to school. Go to work. You've got a sphere of influence. You can probably tell me everybody at your job their favorite hobby, their favorite place to go, their favorite place to eat. And guess what? You've been standing there that whole time and nobody knows you are infatuated with Jesus. Let me ask you, are you infatuated with Him? Have you ever been? Have you ever been? Or are you just telling people you have? Well, I got that one time I went to church and I went to the altar and I wept before Him. And man, that was great, but I was never infatuated. Every relationship I've ever been in, there's been an infatuation phase. Has there been one with you and Jesus? Don't you wish you could have it back sometimes too? Guess what? You can. Go back to your first love. Jesus says, if He said go back to do it, you can. Amen? Here's another one. I can tell you about the time. Y'all are thinking I'm about to tell you. Yeah, I can tell you exactly. I know, I'm going to tell you about time. Time don't matter. Remember when you first fell in love? You just fill in the blank right there. Some of you men, it wouldn't be bad if you nudge your wife right now and go, "That's you, babe." That was a cue. I'm sorry if some of you didn't catch it. It's all right. When you first fell in love, when you first got in that relationship, time does not matter. Y'all, you young people don't have a clue. I remember when I used to talk on the phone with a girl. "Oh, baby, I love you." "No, you hang up." "No, you hang up." "No, I love you." "You hang up." "You hang up." "I'm not hanging up." "You hang up." "No, I love you." "No, you're the one going to have to hang up first." And somewhere in the period, somebody didn't. Somebody hung up. Amen. Y'all good? And that's it. I mean, time doesn't matter. You're like, "Hey, you haven't ate. You haven't slept. You haven't." "Hey, you're just like, I don't care. I don't care. I just want to spend time with them. I just want to be around them. I need to be right there." Have you ever been that way with God? Have you ever lost track of time with God? Have you ever lost track of time with God? See, that's it's an amazing thing about God. We always give Him a time limit. We don't give anybody else that we're infatuated a time limit. Anyway, I mean, God is like, "Oh, my God, you got 30 minutes to bless me. All right, Lord, and we've been here 45 minutes. Man, it's 12:30. What are we still doing here?" Amen. Man, when you really get in fact, when you really fall in love with somebody, time doesn't matter. Has time never mattered with you and God? You might want to check up on your salvation if you've never had that timelessness with God. Where when you first got married to Him, when you first got saved by Him, when you first got in a relationship with Him, you're like, "Oh God, if I could just have a little bit more time with You." Amen? Time doesn't matter when you're in a relationship, especially early on when you get that first love. Has anybody in here thought about, "Man, if I really fell in love with Jesus then?" I can tell you about the pursuit. I wrote down there, "Man, the chasing." Some of you guys need to help me out. Y'all are acting too cool for. Have you ever chased somebody you loved? You don't want. I know some of you are so cool. You ever chased somebody you love? "Oh, it's amazing! I ran into you here at the mall. I can't believe you're here." "Wow! I can't believe we're here at the supermarket at the same time. I can't believe this. It's amazing." Gas station, "Wow, here you are, here I am. No, I'm not stalking you. I just happen to be in the same frequent area you are all the time." Some of y'all are so cool. Amen. When I first met my wife, man, I made excuses to work where she was working. I'd see her going with her buggy to the pack out machine. I would grab somebody else's buggy. "Give me that." And they're like, "What are you doing? I'm going to do your work for you." "What? Yeah. Hey, girl, look, I'm packing out the same time you are. Imagine that." You'll pursue what you're in love with. Have you ever, have you ever pursued after Jesus? Hey, amen. Have you ever pursued Him? Have you ever looked for Him? Have you ever longed just to hear a word from Him? Have you ever sat down early in the morning and looked through His Scripture and said, "Oh God, I'm waiting for You to show Yourself"? Amen. Song of Solomon. "Have you seen the love of my life? I got up this morning and I have not seen Him. I looked everywhere in my house. I looked everywhere in the street. I looked everywhere in the community. Have you seen the love of my life?" I'm pursuing Him. Are you after Jesus? Because Paul said something like this: "I'm trying to apprehend that thing that apprehended me. I'm trying to get a hold of that thing that knocked me down and changed my life. I've been chasing Him because He found me." Listen, you can't help but go after God after you've been saved, especially early on in your relationship with Jesus. I wish it lasts. I hope it lasts. If it don't, rededicate. If it don't, ask Him to give you a fresh fire. But praise God, there was a time where, man, nobody had to tell me you got to read. Nobody had to tell me you had to go to church. Nobody told me I had to sing. Nobody told me. I want that. God, I'm looking for You. That's what it looks like when you've had a first love. That's what, when He says, "Go back to your first love," that's what He's talking about. Have you ever had that? Have you ever had it? Told people you've been saved. You've been told people you belong to church. But have you ever had anything I'm talking about this morning? Can you return to something like what I'm talking about? Or would you have to go there for the first time? I can tell you about the fight. Okay, not... Are you willing to fight for that relationship? Oh, we can't do this in church. I'm sorry. Man, you try to steal my girlfriend. We're going to fight. Amen? Oh, y'all are so spiritual. You're so spiritual in here. I'd like to see some of y'all out in town. Somebody walk up to your girlfriend, you're pretty. You better watch out. Huh? Cheated with me. Somebody looking at her, better watch out. Huh? I fight for what I have. Fight for that relationship, man. It's mine. Hey, I want that. I'm just talking about every relationship you've ever had. Every relationship you ever had is worth fighting for. It's worth fighting for. Amen? Guess what? God ain't no different. Amen? I see people give up on God so quick. I say, man, you didn't get what I got. Amen? Because guess what? When I got saved, the devil's in my hairbrush, devil's in the comb, devil's in the lights, devil's in the microphone, devil's in this. Hey, the devil can be in everything he wants to be in. God's in me. The devil can get in any. He can get in the car, the house. He can't get in me. I think I'll just show up because God's in me. And greater that is in me than he that is in the world. So guess what? I'll keep showing up. Every microphone can mess up. The car can mess up. My hair can look a mess. Makeup ain't right. Suit ain't right. Hair ain't right. God's all right, though. He's worth fighting for. Amen? When you first get saved, people say, you're crazy. Yeah, I was crazy before I got saved. Amen? I'm just a different kind of crazy now. I'm just fighting on the right side now. You're crazy. You lost your mind. You went too far. I love when people say that. When I first got people who say, you've gone too far, Ken. You've been going too far from God. I ran 30 years for the devil. Amen? Last time I checked, I'm not 60 yet. Amen? So I got to run another 30 years just to make the scale even tip the other way. I ain't going too far. I just started. No, y'all don't even, man, I wish I could preach to y'all. You know what? God really didn't want to save you to have you settle down. Did you know that? He didn't want to save you where you could come to church on Sunday and settle in a pew and mark off the days you came. That's really not what he wanted. He wanted the same passion, the same desire, the same fire, the same love, the same you. He just wanted you in a different direction. Amen? When I first started preaching and teaching the gospel, I said, oh, God, I try to be this guy and I try to be that guy. I try to be, oh, Lord, help form me, make me. He goes, I did form you. I did make you. I want you passionate, on fire, with your in this direction. Don't try to be you. That's who God wanted. Oh. I ain't scared to fight for God. Are you? Have you ever been? Could you take any heat for him? If you can't take heat for him, you might want to check up. Golly, can I not move off that real quick? Y'all, anybody tired? Let me just say this. Have you ever dated somebody or been in a relationship with somebody and nobody agreed with it? Did you quit? Better shut up. That's my girl. You don't know nothing. Hey, man, that's my boy. You better shut up. Huh? Have you ever had that? I'm in love. I don't know what you're talking about. You better give up. You better leave her alone. I'll leave her alone until you ain't looking. Huh? Golly, some of you parents, y'all know what I'm... people tell you, you need to back up, you need to stop, you know, you need to be so passionate. You ain't never going to do this, you ain't never going to do that. Man, all right, whatever. I'm fighting for Jesus, man. I'm coming after him with everything I got. Amen? No devil in hell stopped him from coming and getting me. So no devil in hell can stop me from getting to him. Oh, never. I don't know. Maybe I'm preaching to a church that ain't ever been in love with nobody before. Because y'all act all cool. You act like, oh, I ain't never been head over heels in love with nobody. I've been cool the whole time. I ain't never chased after. I ain't never pursued after nobody. I think some of y'all are phony. Amen. Amen? I'd like to see some of y'all right after this, the person you really loved a lot said, I think I'm going to leave. You would be a fit. You'd be, if my wife told me right after church, I'm leaving, I'm packing my stuff, I'd be like, hey, well, you better pack mine too. Amen? I'm serious. You better go ahead and pack mine too. Who you riding with? Me? Amen? I'm serious. Oh, y'all are so cool. I'm telling you, some of you right now, you're humbly. No, you're not. No, God. I wish church could be real. So, I mean, some of us sitting here and we're like, I wouldn't do that. And some of you women in here, y'all act all spiritual. They're like, my man, you'd be the first one. Oh. I could go there, but I'm not. I can tell you about the focusing on the one and not the others. Have you ever been in love with somebody so much that you didn't even know anybody else existed? If you fall in love with the right girl, all the other girls disappear. You fall in love with the right guy, all the other guys disappear. Amen? I mean, you don't even know they exist. Huh? Who? What? I didn't see them. Hey, what are you? You're always talking to them. You're always in this. You're always infatuated with her. Nobody exists but them. When you get saved, nothing more important than God. Nothing's more important than Jesus. If you got something in your life that's more important than Jesus, when I was growing up, people would say stuff like this: make Jesus number one on your list. Then Jesus come along one day and said, no, don't do that. Don't make me number one. Make me the list. No, he said, don't make me number one. Make me the paper. You hear me? Make me the paper that you put everything else on. And you give me the power and the authority to let whatever goes on that list stay or go. Amen? That's where I want to be. I'm not a God that says, hey, you're number one today and maybe you might be number two tomorrow. You're all in all. You're the center of my universe. You're everything to me. Has God ever been everything to you? Or is He just a spare tire God for you? I might have preached this here before and I really don't care. But has God ever been the donut for you? The donut tire. You know what I'm talking about. If your car has a flat tire, nowadays they do two things that I've never thought of before. One line of thought is they put a can of Fix-It flat in there. That's insane, number one. Number two is they give you a tire that's not the same size as all the other tires. Amen? Well, guess what? A lot of times that's Jesus to us. He's in a little compartment in the back of our trunk, covered by something and a bunch of junk in our lives. Junk in your trunk. Amen? And when you have a bad day and you have something happen and you're pulled over on the side of the road alive and you ain't got no help, then you do a couple things. You open the glove compartment and you start looking through the vehicle owner manual to find out what is what with your kind of car. That'd probably be the Bible in some aspects. Wonder what Jesus says about this now. Then you find out the location of your little donut tire. And you go and you pop the trunk and throw all your junk out. The stuff that was important to you 5 minutes ago, but now it's not important to you anymore because now you're broke down in life. You put all your junk aside and you take your Jesus out and you put Him on your life and it looks weird. It just looks weird because you're wanting Jesus when you didn't want Him any other time. And you got Him on your car, and every time you go somewhere, and when I say car, I'm saying your life. And every time you show up somewhere with that donut, it's so weird. People look at you and go, what in the world's going on with you? Oh, Jesus is helping me now. I'm in so much trouble. My wife and my job and my family. Jesus is good. And they're like, what are you talking? I've never heard you talk about Him. I've never heard you ask for prayer. I've never seen you in the altar. What are you talking about? Well, because this is going on, I asked you, and then you put him on there. And after a while, all you want to do is get that other tire back on there. Amen? When everything gets right and you get enough money to go down there and get you another Michelin. Amen? You know what? You put Jesus right back in his neat little place, cover him right back up, tighten him down real tight. And you, as you're doing it, you can be spiritual too. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for helping me out. Amen? And I'll see you the next time I get in trouble. Amen? That's not supposed to be Jesus. He's supposed to be the car. He's supposed to be so center of your universe that when you show up, people think a little Jesus showed up. And you're like, what? Get out of here, preacher. They called them Christians at Antioch first. I'll say it again real slow. They called them Christians at Antioch first. They called them. Notice they didn't call themselves. Somebody looked at them and said, they're behaving like little Christs. They must be Christians. Has anybody ever accused you of being a Christian? Or do you just keep telling people you are? And if Jesus ever said, go back to your first love, would you say, well, there was that one moment where I loved on him? Or was that red hot, white, fervent love for God in your life ever? If it was not, you might want to examine yourself whether you've ever been in the faith before. Maybe you want to examine yourself. Did I have a profession of faith, or do I have a profession or possession? Does Christ have a possession of my life? So there's a difference between a professing that I know Christ, and there's a difference between him professing possessing your life. Let's all stand as I come get a song.